Welcome to the Exec MBA Podcast. I'm Brett Twitty, Director of Admissions for the Executive Formats of the Darden MBA, and this is our ninth episode. On this episode, we'll be featuring an interview I recently recorded with Abby Suarez. Abby is an MBA format student who graduated from Darden in 2017, and I sat down to talk with her a little bit about what she gained and learned through the program. Before we get to my interview with Abby, just a few admissions updates to share with you. I'll be hosting office hours in a variety of locations up and down the East Coast over the next few weeks. I'll be in Richmond on November 7, Baltimore on November 9, Philadelphia on November 14, New York City on November 16th and 17th, the Washington, D.C. area in Arlington on November 20th, and Norfolk, Virginia on November 21st. Of course, for those of you who are thinking about applying to Darden, our next application deadline is November 27th. We're here to help. If you want to learn more about Darden, consider joining me for an office hour appointment. These are in-person, 45-minute meetings, one-on-one, typically with me, an opportunity to learn a little bit more about Darden and what makes our executive formats unique, but also an opportunity for us to learn a little bit more about you, your background, and your potential fit for Darden's executive formats. We also offer phone conversations. These are 30-minute phone calls with a member of the admissions committee. And again, another great opportunity for you to learn a little bit more about Darden and for us to get a sense of your background, your career, and why you're interested in pursuing an MBA. So we look forward to meeting you on the road. But for now, here's my interview with Abby Suarez. Abby?
Hello.
Welcome to the podcast.
Thanks. Happy to be here.
All right. So for our listeners at home, tell us a little bit more about yourself.
So my name is Abby Suarez, like you mentioned. I am a 2017 MBA grad, so I just graduated in May. Excited about that. I'm originally from Texas, but I've been in the D.C. metro area for the majority of my professional life. I work for a nonprofit mission-driven lender. We make investments, mission-driven investments in the United States. I do business development for them, so I develop markets as well as I match projects with our lending products.
So what led you to pursue an MBA? Sort of what was that decision-making process, and how did you decide to pursue an executive MBA?
So I knew I wanted to get a master's degree, and my background's in finance, and I'd been able to leverage that pretty successfully, so I felt like an MBA was sort of the next progression. I will tell you, though, that after 10 years in the D.C. metro area, I did start considering a master's in public administration. Mm-hmm. And just looking at it, I felt like there was probably no job where having an MPA versus an MBA will give me a leverage, but there's probably a job where an MBA would. So that's sort of how I landed on an MBA. And then the executive format is sort of just found me. I didn't consider actually the executive format. I applied through the regular round and was selected for an executive format to be a better fit. And it was interesting because I always tell all my friends that, like, Darden knew what I wanted better than I did. It was definitely the better format for me. It was going to be really hard to leave where I was. And this allowed me to continue doing the great work that I'm doing while getting an MBA.
Yeah, that's one of the things I think from an admissions committee standpoint, particularly since Darden's case method, we think a lot about developmental peers and which group of students is going to challenge you and really engage you. And you had mentioned you'd worked for about 10 years, right, before coming back to school. And so certainly from a work experience standpoint, you look at our average executive format student, and as is probably closer to 10, 11, 12 years. And, you know, we do say that on the application that we will consider you for all formats of the Darden MBA. And here you are. It all worked out.
I am, yes.
So you now graduated. You're out. You graduated this past May. It was fun to see your class together there at the picnic right before graduation. And how does it feel to be on the other side of it?
I mean, it's really exciting. I mean, it's an intense 21 months. I look back and I'm like, how did I even manage to do that, especially with work being really busy and, of course, your personal life as well. But at the same time, I just really miss it. I miss my cohort. I miss going to class and learning. I felt like the executive MBA program was sort of probably the most valuable investment I've made personally. And so, of course, I miss sort of the routine of learning and seeing my cohort friends.
So what, for you, what do you think were the biggest takeaways from the program? I mean, as you went through it, were there any things that you became aware of, oh gosh, I'm developing in these ways, it's really interesting to me, or just now that you're looking back on it, who you are now versus who you were when you started the program?
Yeah, I feel like I'm a lot more self-aware in a good way, meaning that I feel like a lot of us tend to be really hard on ourselves and sort of would probably look at the things that I needed to improve and would focus on improving those. And I think the MBA format really was able to showcase and highlight sort of both sides, like where do you need to improve, but also what are your strengths, how to leverage those that you actually have a lot of strengths, how to utilize those. And one of the things that I felt like was probably the biggest takeaway professionally is that I know the type of role I'm good at. I know what are the skills that make me a successful professional. And I think my goal is never to end up in a position where I'm not playing to my strengths.
It's funny. Somebody might think about self-awareness as like a really soft thing, right? But it's come up in a number of these conversations, this sort of introspection and reflection and just, you know, the way that being self-aware impacts how you lead, how you work with other people. What would you say to somebody who's like, oh, that's a soft skill? You know, it's not as tactile or maybe right. As hard as like something like, oh, I got better at finance.
Right. Well, I would challenge them and say, where do you think your next job is? Mm-hmm. Especially for the executive MBA program, I feel like your technical days are far behind. Mm-hmm. Or at least sort of that was where I came in. And I wanted to pursue management, pursue leadership. And all that is soft skills. So I just really just think about sort of what it takes for your next job, because you're going to learn the technical skills anyway, but probably the best are sort of the leadership classes and the soft skills you learn.
Yeah, that is a good point. I think we share with prospective students all the time, sort of as we describe our average student, we talk about somebody who's maybe a specialist right now. They're doing something. It's a little bit narrower in scope, but they ultimately want to be a generalist, right? They want to have that senior leadership view. And that may not be the first job after the program, but it's within the next 5 to 10 years, right? So this is sort of, you know, people work for very long careers now. So most of our students are 35 or so by the time when they come to us. And so you're really thinking about the next 20, 25 years of your career. And I think, to your point, for many of our students, that is about a leadership role.
Yeah.
So if you were, you know, sort of highlighting things about Darden to a prospective student, what would you share?
I think, well, number one, I will encourage everybody to visit. I feel like that's how I knew Darden was my number one choice. I went to the campus. I met the staff, particularly the case method. I was really curious how it would work for a technical class, like an accounting or finance class. So seeing the case method live was amazing. It really was, because it really showcased how you could learn a technical skill with this method. Is very interactive and a lot of fun. Scary because you have to be prepared, but a lot of fun overall. I think the other thing that I really liked, sort of going time back to our conversation, was that it was a general management degree. I think one of the things that I have observed is that general managers, good managers, good leaders is something that we lack of. And so that's one of the things that I picked up right away from Darden, that they were really focused, you know, leading with an enterprise perspective was one of the first classes.
Thing you do.
Exactly. So that was really exciting.
So the case method is something we think is an important differentiator for Darden in the marketplace. And sometimes there's a little bit of a mystery when you talk to prospective, you know, most people may not have a strong idea as to what it really is. We've been asking some of our guests here on the podcast to talk about how would you explain the case method to someone who was just starting to learn about Darden and business school generally?
Sure. So I would put it like it's a story, right? So you're reading a story that happened. It's obviously about a company. You have a protagonist usually. And then it's something that happened, right? And you're looking back at it. And then every case comes with questions for you to think about. So there's definitely a lot of work to be done prior to going to class. Some of the cases come with technical notes. If there's something, that's sort of how you learn the technical side of it. And some of it you actually have to do like an Excel spreadsheet, come up with numbers. But they're all sort of based on the initial questions that give you sort of the direction the professor wants to take.
The thing that students do talk about with the case method is, to your earlier point, it's about accountability, right? You have to be ready because you might get called on in any class. Do you remember your first cold call?
Oh, my gosh. I don't, but I remember the first professor that actually really cold called, Peter DeBeer. He's amazing, by the way. He was probably one of our favorite professors.
Global economics.
Yes. And he literally, like, cold called. I think maybe the LR1, people, you know, I think they were trying to get us ready.
Yeah, sure. It's all about setting the table for your future experience. So some of your classmates had the experience of being cold called by Peter?
Yes, and I also had that experience. So I don't know if that was my first one, but that was the first that it was like, okay, this is what a cold call is, you know. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it was fun.
Yeah, but I can empathize a little bit having gone to law school and gone through that same experience. I don't think people really are sentimental about their first time being cold called, but it is helpful in that it makes you get ready for class, right?
It does.
So one of the things that alumni sometimes notice that learning the case method makes the lessons that you've learned stickier, right? They stay with you because you have these stories attached to concepts and sort of technical discussions that you had. Did you find that to be the case, that you could remember stuff a little bit better or
Yeah.
stay with you?
I mean, I don't remember. I mean, funny enough, one of the cases that sticks with me was the one that I went to see as a prospective student. It was the ice cream, Ben and Jerry.
Oh, yeah.
And so it's interesting how that, you know.
That's a classic. Yeah.
How that sticks with you. Yeah. But it's also like a lot of Tata Motors cases. We did a lot of GE cases. But yeah, they definitely do stick with you. I was actually preparing for an interview, and it was about strategy, a growth strategy. So I was like, oh, I need to look back at one of the cases, which was a strategy case where we were talking about how to look at your opportunities, how to assess where sort of as a company you had your strengths and the opportunities, and how that sort of matches with your values as a company. So I just looked back at one of the cases to help me prepare. So,
who would have known that that a case discussion would help you with a job interview? But people talk about it all the time. If you go into an interview and there's sort of some aspect that's a case-based interviewing, or you have a problem, they ask you to look at it and make a recommendation. I think Darden students feel very comfortable with that.
Yeah, actually I had three rounds of interviews, and they all had a case. One was sort of a quick read, the other one was a spreadsheet case, and this one was sort of a growth case. And I just remember being, this is not intimidating at all. I mean, I've been doing this for 21 months. I should be able to do this.
Yeah. So how do you feel like Darden, and it may be a little bit early to say, but I'll still ask the question. How do you feel like Darden impacted your career? You know, obviously 21 months of the program, you know, you've gone through it, you're out of it now. What kind of impact do you feel like it had?
I think most immediately is sort of on a personal and professional level, just really know, like I was saying, knowing your strengths, knowing how to play to your strengths. It's also given me a lot of confidence, specifically around and taking leadership around the areas that I know that is sort of where my strengths lay. And going forward, I hope that will continue, right? So just understanding what would be the next step, you know, whether it's within my company or another company, you know, what type of roles should I pursue? What type of roles should I look at?
Yeah, so there are a lot of opportunities during the program where you sort of have that reflective moment where you do try to chart that next step. Do you find those exercises helpful?
Yes. It's really interesting. Just being part of Darden, you know, not only having the access to professional development help while you're in school, but also outside of school. I was part of a program called Impact Business Leaders. It's in partnership with, I think it's larger UBA, but they came to Darden, and I got a scholarship to go there just because I was a Darden student, and that has given me a lot of perspective and mentorship around impact investing, sort of the area that I want to focus more into, and just brought to me clarity around, is this really the industry where I want to be, and who are the players, and what roles could I pursue? Just what sort of happened in the last 21 months, which was exciting.
Yeah. Why would you tell a prospective student, you know, say somebody called you and said, Abby, I'm looking at Darden. Why should I do this? I mean, we sort of talked a little bit about this already, but if you had to make a quick elevator pitch to someone about Darden, what would you say?
I'd say it's a welcoming place. It's a friendly place, but it's also a place that sort of asks for excellence in their students. It's very interactive. The case method is the best way to learn. I don't think I ever want to learn any other way. But just the atmosphere. And then, you know, the alumni network is incredible.
Have you had, you know, sort of firsthand experience with the alumni network while you've been in school or since? I know certainly it's a big part of how some people may make their decision to come to Darden. They pick up the phone or email a few people. But have you had some experience with the alumni network?
Yeah, I mean, I think that especially in the DC metro area, is very strong. There's always events. There's always opportunities to reach out to alumni. And then just actually the larger UBA network is incredible. I've had people that work with my husband, for example, say, oh, your wife goes to UVA. I want to meet her.
Just because she goes to UVA. Well, there's something like 40. I mean, the numbers are pretty fascinating. So one of the presentations I saw listed maybe 40,000 UVA alumni in the D.C. metro area. And then Darden alumni, it's over 1,500. So that's a pretty strong network.
It is.
Both of those very strong networks. And I think to your point about sort of community and being, Darden being a friendly place, I think that does extend beyond just, you know, Charlottesville or your section in Roslyn, wherever you may be learning. I mean, that can be broadly applied to the alumni network generally.
Yeah, absolutely. And I feel like all alumni have heard or we have ourselves received quick responses from the network when we've reached out, and so we keep that in mind. Mm-hmm. So when now we're part of the alumni network, we try to be as responsive as possible.
No pressure.
Of course.
Well, Abby, thank you so much for being on the podcast. I mentioned this to one of your classmates. So I started February of 2015. So your class that matriculated August 2015 was the first class I had been involved with here. So you always have a sort of special place for me. So it was great to see all of you graduate, and obviously it's great talking with you today.
Yeah, thank you.
Abby Suarez, and before Matt graduated in Darden's class of 2017. Of course, we're always interested in your ideas and suggestions here at the Exec MBA podcast. If there are any topics you'd like for us to tackle on the podcast, let us know. We can be reached by email at exec, that's E-X-E-C, MBA @darden.virginia.edu. And until next time, thanks for listening.